UFC 270 is Saturday night from the Honda Center in Anaheim with two title fights. The prelims are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus starting at 8 Eastern, followed by the main card on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. And welcome back to Get Up. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Diana Russini, Bart Scott here with me. We are raring to go, and that is why we say, let's get up with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Our expert is going to tell you, should Green Bay be on upset alert Saturday night? Plus, here's the thing. Perhaps no one faces more pressure in the playoffs than Tom Brady. Will the Rams sack his chance at another Super Bowl ring? We'll talk about that. And Mike McCarthy had a stunning admission about his team. And this one has got Bart Scott fired up. Wait until you hear that. We'll get right to a lot of football. Oh, you know Bart, he's almost ready. But first we're going to talk about some Hollywood drama. Take it to the NBA. Pacers taking on the Lakers. LeBron getting ready for this one. And we'll take it to the first quarter. Lakers up 5. LeBron grabs the rebound and watch him move. Takes it all the way in for the layup. He still got it. Missed the free throw, but man, he was on fire early on. Less than a minute to go. Lakers in the half. Lakers up by 6. Malik Monk to LeBron. Flushing it home. Look at that finish. 18 points, 8 rebounds in the first half. Lakers up by 6 in the half. We take it to the fourth quarter. Now they're down 4. And Russell Westbrook became the story. Watch him on this play. He's got the ball in his hands. Patient with it. A little bit of a spin there, a little bump. Take the jump shot. Missed it. Now here's the key part on defense. Westbrook. I mean, to call this lackadaisical might be an understatement. Sort of watching on defense, and then Caris LeVert blows right by him for the layup. Westbrook, tough scenario for him. He'd be benched late, later in the fourth. Lakers now down 7. Torrey Craig misses the 3. LeBron gets the rebound. That is his 10,000th of his career. Big props to him. 3:24 left in the fourth. Lakers still down 7, and LeBron taking it all the way again for the lay-in. Lakers trail by 5, but then just over 2 minutes remaining in the fourth. Pacers up 6. Caris LeVert, the 3. 22 points in the fourth quarter, 30 for the game. Next possession for the Lakers. It goes to LeBron in the 3 in the bricks. Lakers lose it 111-104. And after the game, LeBron and Frank Vogel spoke about Westbrook.
Frank, you opted to go with Russ on the bench at the end of the game. What were you looking for there? What was the thinking behind that choice?
Yeah, playing the guys I thought were going to win the game.
How was Russ after the game? Is that the sort of thing that bothers him?
Have you followed Russ throughout his career?
Not as closely as you have, probably.
Okay. Have you followed Russ throughout this season?
Yeah.
Would you think that would bother Russ not being in the late game?
I would imagine.
Okay. There goes your answer.
LeBron turning the tables. Man. Bart was chomping at the bit, by the way, at 8 o'clock about this. Go ahead, I'll let you react.
Man, well, this is like Days of Your Lives, man. This is like the biggest drama going right now. Listen, LeBron, you got to be careful what you wish for. You asked for the Brody, you got the Brody, so you got all the negativity that comes with him. Whether he was in Houston, whether he was out there, you know, last year, he's a guy that can't finish, right? So now when you talk about, you know, Frank Vogel with his job being on the line, if I'm going down, I'm not going down with Russell Westbrook. He says he's going to put the players out there that can help him win. You heard Magic come out there and put the mandate that said Laker Nation deserves more. When you have that lack of effort, you know, you have to hold them accountable. You have to win the locker room back. And it starts with holding your star players accountable.
Yeah, Bart Scott, what can't you do, man? What can't you do?
He can do it all.
Oh. You
and by the way, you know what his favorite thing is to do?
I had a basketball scholarship.
His favorite thing? Talking about the NFL. Ooh. And our favorite thing is talking about this game, 49ers-Packers. Now, remember, back in week 3, the Packers beat the Niners. Davante Adams had an enormous day. 18 targets, 12 catches, both season highs. The most any player had versus San Francisco this season. In fact, the 49ers, they've been stopping struggling receivers all year long, allowing a completion percentage of nearly 68% to wideouts, third highest in the NFL. Meanwhile, it's going to be very cold Saturday night in Green Bay. Temperatures are expected to be in the single digits with the wind gusts up to 13 miles per hour.
I got
that a problem for you?
I got something for the cold.
What?
Nothing.
No, don't. Yeah, we're not going there. We had enough of that.
I had to talk to my dad about that.
We're not going there. We're going to Lewis Riddick. Oh, no. Wait, first I want to start with Diana, by the way. Because it's the most important thing about this game is who's in and who's out.
Quick run through for the injuries here, right? So Jimmy Garoppolo was a full participant in practice yesterday, so that's always a good sign. Nick Nick Bosa out there as well. We know that he was in concussion protocol over the last few days, but all signs point for him to be back in that one. But for the Green Bay Packers, though, David Bakhtiari, he was limited at practice. He missed practice on Tuesday, but Coach LaFleur said that that was really more about load management, so he should be good to go. But corner Jair Alexander, this is probably the big question mark, the one that we're going to keep an eye on as we get closer to the game. You know, he hasn't played since that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We haven't seen him pretty much all season long, so he is questionable because of that shoulder injury, but I'm told that it's trending in the right direction. So good news for the Packers, D.
Okay, could look good there. Now, Lewis, let me go to you. You know, I want to use the term upset alert loosely here. Do you think that the Packers are on upset alert, and what do you make of this matchup for them?
Yeah, I do, because I think right now going up against a team like San Francisco that really can travel from city to city, from good weather to bad weather, from 1 o'clock games to 4 o'clock. This is a team that's mentally just resilient and physically hardened to the kind of challenge that they're going to face in Green Bay. It doesn't really matter to them where they play, how they play, who they play against, because their style kind of is very unique in today's game, meaning it really is about capturing the line of scrimmage and playing football in an old-fashioned, you know, in a phone booth type of way. And a lot of teams just don't want to do that. They're not mentally prepared to do that for 3.5 hours or however long a game takes. And they've already shown this to Green Bay before in years past, that they can go ahead and just absolutely take the life out of them with their physicality. Now, you say, well, Green Bay had an answer for them earlier on in the season. Yeah, they did. Aaron pulled a rabbit out of his hat as far as getting the ball to Davante Adams late in the football game and Mason Crosby eventually winning the football game for him. But the running game for San Francisco did not look like it looks like now. And now it looks like it's one of those types of games where it will say to an opposing defense, here, check this out. Here are a few of our base runs that we really like to run. Are you man enough to stop them? Seriously, are you man enough to stop them? And that is what really this game is going to come down to in this weather. And it's going to be even harder because it's going to be cold as hell. And you're going to be sore. You're going to want to get over there to those heaters, man. It's going to be cold. And this football team is going to test your will. That's what I love. I love games like this.
D, when I hear you laughing, go ahead, jump in.
Lewis is speaking my language right now. Just keep preaching that gospel, Lou. Lou preaching that gospel because this is right in my wheelhouse. You know, this time of year, man, it's all about taking people's manhood. You know, we talk so much about the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and rightfully so because it's, you know, we're in a passing league. But listen, at the end of the day, the teams that are in the postseason right now, the teams that are still in it, most of them are in it because of one reason. They play well in the trenches. And that's what the San Francisco 49ers are going to bring to the table, a physicality that not a lot of teams want to play with, okay? And the way that they design their runs, and Bart talked about this in the first hour, the eye candy that they use in their run game, it makes for a lot of confusion on the defensive side of the football. So the key for the Green Bay Packers is this. Can they, number one, man up against the San Francisco 49ers in the run game, stop it and put the game in Jimmy G hands, because we saw what Jimmy G did down the stretch when they played against Dallas. And we saw what Kyle Shanahan ultimately did, take the ball out of his hands and gave it back to the running game.
You know, and by the way, D, while you're talking, look at our graphic there. The game time temperature, 7 degrees with 13 mile per hour winds. And you heard Lewis talking about the cold. How much of an impact is that going to have?
Oh, you have to make a decision, because what happens is we got plastic shoulder pads. They harden up. Your helmet hardens up. They become weapons. Mm. And the best defenses know how to use them. You know how to use the ground as a weapon. You know how to use your shoulder pads as a weapon. And it's a test of wills, right? It's always funny. I always love how these dudes all jacked up on Mountain Dew. The first quarter, first series, they clapping, high-fiving. Yeah, let's see if you got that same effect in the third quarter when I hit you with a couple of these body blows. You see guys starting to make business decisions. Oh, I quite don't get quite over. Oh, I didn't see that puller. Like, that's what it's about. It's a testament of wills. And sometimes the same thing that make you laugh make you cry. So I'm telling Green Bay on the other side, I'm going with Thunder Thighs and Aaron Jones, too. Say, we can punch your guys in the mouth, too. You step up on this train track, see if your guy's ready for that smoke. That's how you get respect. You got to punch the bully in the face early on and say, listen, I'm ready for this all day.
You guys, are they not getting us fired up for this game? I'm fired up for this game. It's like I want to throw in some pads and play an 80-degree weather.
Don't hurt yourself.
No, you don't want to do that, Ryan. You don't want to get
say, you can, you
no,
can
no,
you
worry, Louis. Ryan, I was just joking. I'm,
Ryan, you don't want that smoke.
No,
you don't want that smoke,
no, Ryan. I'll take it from my living room. That's just fine for me. All right, Rams-Bucks. Rematch of their Week 3 meeting. A 34-24 Rams win. Brady threw for 432 yards, season high for him, but also had a season high 16 pressures. Matthew Stafford had 4 TDs, 2 to Cooper Kupp. Now, let's talk about this matchup. Diana, I think this is the biggest one in terms of injuries in the playoffs. Who's in and who's out for this one?
Yeah, for the Bucs, tackle Tristan Wirfs right now is dealing with an ankle injury. He'll be a game-time decision. Ryan Jensen as well. I was told, though, he most likely would be good to go. And I did speak with the Bucs source just a few minutes ago trying to get an idea about the status of Leonard Fournette, because a lot of us expected him to play last weekend, and he didn't because he's got this hamstring injury now. And from what I was told, that they're going to go through practice today and make a decision whether or not he's going to be able to go after today. So we should know some more answers by SportsCenter at 6 o'clock tonight.
Okay, so that should be huge right there if he could play. Yeah. D-Wood, I'll go to you. If this line is banged up, if this offensive line is banged up, what's the formula for Brady winning this game?
I think you got to change the tempo up in this game. You know, the last time they met, when the Rams beat the Bucks, Brady was pressured 16 times and sacked 3 times. And that's with a healthy line. So if you're talking about potentially 2 guys, 1 All-Pro, 1 Pro Bowl player out, I think you got to change the tempo, try to wear down this defensive front of the Los Angeles Rams, keep them on the field so they can't substitute. You got to do things like that. Brady already gets the ball out of his hands quickly anyway, but you got to do things like that to try to wear these guys down, because I'm going to tell you, as much as we talk about Aaron Donald, you can't double everybody on the defensive front. That's why they brought in a Von Miller, you know, to play off of Aaron Rodgers, Leonard Floyd on the other side. You can't double everybody. So that's going to be a big challenge for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line.
Who do you think needs to step up in this game more than anybody else?
Well, for me, it's Mike Evans. Mike Evans has to be that guy. You know, Antonio Brown says, who's better than me? And Mike Evans should have stood up and said, I'm there. I'm close. You're going to put some respect on my name. 8,000-yard seasons consecutively. But the problem is he's going against probably one of the very few islands left in football, in Jalen Ramsey. And if he can, you know, erase him, if it's a push and Mike Evans can't get off, then it's going to be a long day, because what happens is you already probably have to keep Gronkowski in for protection to help. So he's going to be chipping out. And then it also allows, if you can erase him, it allows Weddle or whoever they want to double Gronk with to make it a tough day. So they may have to go to their 2 tight end set to put the best matchup that they have to be able to run. Giovanni Bernard is going to have to be a beast. He's going to have to be the beast in the passing game. He's going to have to exploit some of these young, you know, linebackers in the box. And he's going to have to be the difference as well. So Mike Evans and Giovanni Bernard, I believe, is the guy that's going to have to step up big time.
Louis, we were going to talk about the Rams, but I just have to ask this question about Tom Brady. I feel like every year there is a situation where we say, you know what, I don't know, man. This Rams defense looking too tough. I don't know. They got so many injuries on the offensive line. These guys might be out. And we start counting Tom Brady out. Do you think that there is a road here? Or do you think, let me say it differently, are we underestimating the ability of Tom Brady to do more with less and win this game?
No, I don't think we're underestimating him at all. But Tom Brady's only one person. And as fast and as efficient as his mind is, and as much as he has seen every defense imaginable, there's still the physical aspect of the game as it relates to, can he get the ball to where he needs to get it to before Aaron Donald is putting his Rydell on his chest? It's as simple as that. And look, their right tackle situation is a problem. It's a problem without Tristan Wirfs. Von Miller is a Hall of Fame pass rusher. He will eat alive whoever who's out there if it's not Tristan Wirfs. So Tom has an issue, man. He has an issue. We'll wait. We'll see. He's the greatest of all time, but we'll see.
Yeah, if anybody can overcome that issue, it's him, but I don't know how you overcome that issue. That's what makes that game so interesting. Well, coming up, Mike McCarthy's shocking revelation about his team and their loss last week. Where were they ready, I should say, on Sunday? Were they ready to go? Bart Scott fired up about that one. And is Jalen Hurts the guy or a guy in Philadelphia? The Eagles have made their decision. Are they making a huge mistake? We'll talk about that next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Time for a little fix them or forget them, where we discuss whether teams should fix these players or let them go. Lewis, I'll start with you. Tua Tagovailoa, fix them or forget them?
Yeah, I'm going to go with fix them. Look, I still believe that this young man has not played to his full potential in Miami. Some of it of his own doing as far as his health and his ability to really get comfortable in an offense. And I think some of it has to do with that said offense being something that is really tailored to what he does the best. It'll be interesting to see what head coach they bring in here and how he constructs this team around him, starting with the offensive line. But I still think Tua has a lot of upside in this league, and hopefully the next coaching staff will get the best out of him.
I think so, too. Hard to move on from him right now. D-Wood, Carson Wentz, fix him or forget him?
Man, I'm going to go with forget him. And I know they, you know, the compensation that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to get because of the trade for Carson Wentz. But listen, we're not talking about 2017 Carson Wentz anymore. This is a guy that's had opportunity after opportunity to show the Indianapolis Colts that he can be the difference maker. And when it came down to week 17, he couldn't make it happen.
That's a good point. Imagine him passing up on him at this point. Bart, Jalen Hurts, fix him or forget him.
Holla.
Peace. I got to get him go, man. It's been real, man. Listen, wow. He is great for the compensation that you give him. You got him under contract for 2 years. But it is a ceiling on his talent and what he can do for your football team. I prefer a more refined passer. His body, you know, using him as a primary runner is only going to limit his shelf life. You know, I'm going to forget him.
Okay. I'm surprised by that. But speaking of Jalen Hurts, Eagles GM Howie Roseman and head coach Nick Sirianni gave a vote of confidence to their young quarterback yesterday. Take a listen to this.
When we talk about Jalen and the growth he had, really first-year starter, second-year player, leading this team to the playoffs, tremendously impressed by his work ethic, his leadership. The last time we talked was during camp, and we said we wanted to see him take the bull by the horn, and he certainly did that. We got to do whatever we can to continue to help him develop. And how do we do that? By surrounding him with really good players. That's on us to continue to build this team.
Okay, that was Roseman right there. Diana, what are you hearing out of Philadelphia in terms of their plans?
Well, they've got 3 first-round draft picks, right? So Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni, they're saying the right things at this point about the future of their quarterback because the quarterback is on their roster right now. Mm. They haven't made any moves. So technically, he will probably be the starting quarterback until the draft, unless we see them make a move here. But for right now, the sense is he is their quarterback until the next quarterback comes in.
That's like, yeah, he's our guy. But if we see something we like, we'll take him.
Yeah.
How about
exactly.
That? All right, Lewis, Diana mentioned
only
the Eagles
the faithful draft. Of their options.
Exactly. Diana mentioned the Eagles draft capital. If a big-name quarterback became available and said, hey, I'm thinking about Philly, I want to go there, could you see them making a move?
Sure, I could. Sure. Look, you got to understand the history of this football team under Jeffrey Lurie's ownership and understand philosophically how they feel about quarterback play, which is you can never have enough of them in your quarterback room, obviously, you know, as long as it doesn't kind of mess up everything else that you're trying to do from a team construction standpoint, and that they are always going to be open-minded when it comes to acquiring players at that position, especially players that could potentially upgrade their present situation and put them in a position to better challenge in the NFC East and in the NFL overall. And if that means one of these veteran quarterbacks says, hey, look, Philadelphia, you're a place we'd like to come. You're a team we'd like to play with. We like what Nick Sirianni's doing. We like how the running game looks. We like how you built the defense to really be a complimentary piece. Is there a way you could come get me?" I'm sure that they would not go, "Well, no, remember that press conference we had back in January and we told Jalen Hurts he's our starting guy? Yeah, we're not going to go back on that." Of course they'll go back on it. Yeah. Of course. Because that's how they look at quarterback play. This thing, in the NFL words, is very fluid. Let's just be adaptable as we move through the next couple months.
Yeah, and I think even Jalen Hurts knows that. So let me put it to you this way, Bart. One of those quarterbacks says, "Yeah, I'm interested in Philly." Like Lewis says, "Can you find a way to come and get me?" Do you give up the house for him? They got 3 first-round picks. Do you give up the house for him?
Man, you look at what they have on the outside, really hitting on Smith, and what they have at the tight end position, running back position. They have, to me, one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in the game. You know, a lot of quarterbacks will love that. Guys that have been sacked a lot of times. Russell Wilson, wink, wink, right? Guys that want to be protected and have the opportunity. I don't know, depending on the quarterback, you may not have to give up 3. You may only have to give up 2, right? And if you give up 2, it still gives you the ability to move back and get a dynamic player. And I tell you what, Jalen Hurts is a good problem to have because I don't know if I put him in the deal. I would like to still keep him because he's so young. And, you know, you need 2 good quarterbacks in this league because we've seen so many times, whether it's Lamar Jackson going down, sometimes you're going to be without your starting quarterback for 3-4 games. You saw that happen in Arizona as well.
Yeah, Diana, this is a team that if they build around Jalen Hurts, they're going to have to acquire some more weapons, it seems, especially around the wide receiver position.
Yeah, and they're getting older. I know, yeah. I know you noted that they
side, yeah.
On the defensive side, and that's really the trenches is where this team is always dominant. This is where they're always able to have success. But those guys are getting older. I think we saw things from Jalen Hurts this season that made you think, oh, all right, this is the guy. And then the next game or the next play, he does something, then you're confused. Like, maybe this isn't it. And his QBR, his passer rating just in the pocket, it didn't improve. Mm. In fact, it improved like slightly by like 1 point. But that's where we really needed to see that growth. I think that's why it's probably so difficult for Philly together as an organization to be like, yes, this is our guy going forward. We ain't going to talk to anybody else.
He did what comes natural. He ran the football.
Yeah.
They leaned on his one skill set, but that can be taken away against good teams.
Right, and we saw how that all played out in that first playoff game for sure. Well, coming up, it could be an annual event in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. Is this the NFL's next big rivalry? And does Josh Allen actually have the edge on Sunday? And boy, talk about a mess in Hollywood. Westbrook benched in another disastrous loss for the Lakers. What should they do? We'll ask Stephen A. Smith coming up next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Call the non-believers.
How did that?
Call the non-believers.
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fired up. It's time for Bart Scott to give us the 4 things he can't wait for heading into the divisional round of the playoffs. And Bart, let's start with Rams Bucks.
I tell you what, man, I'm excited to see if Cam Akers can duplicate his over 90 yards of productivity. You talk about being out 5 months ago with the Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they took out his old Achilles and fixed it with a gazelle Achilles, but this dude was like all jacked up on Mount Duke because he was playing in fast forward. And I tell you what, if he continues to give you this productivity, it's going to be trouble for the Buccaneers in that run defense.
You got everybody jacked up on Mountain Dew today. I need to be drinking more Mountain Dew.
I'm trying to get a sponsorship. I'm balling on the budget, man.
Oh, there you go. There you go. 49ers, Packers. What can't you wait for?
I want to see if this Packers defense, we talked about Joe Barry defense and how much they've improved. Well, we're going to see if they have a commitment. Because one thing when you have those type of weather conditions, one thing I can predict, like Clubber Lane would say, is pain. Because it is painful to tackle. Everything hurts. The ground hurts. Hits hurt. Let's see if they have that commitment to excellence and how important it is. Because when you play a San Francisco 49ers team, It is about, you know, your commitment to standing on the train tracks when the train is coming through.
I'm calling out all your movie references. Rocky 3, right?
Absolutely.
I love it. Clubber Lang. All right, Bengals Raiders.
Well, I tell you what, last week, you know, Joe Burrow knocked down Derek Carr, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you knocked him down, try knocking me down. So let's go with Rocky V. Let's go with Tommy Gunn, right? And that guy playing a role of Tommy Gunn is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is back. The king is back. And you got to be able to try and knock him down. Let's see if this – listen, I know Joe Burrow is good. Mm-hmm. I want to see if he's special because it's going to take a special effort, a Herculean effort for him to be able to knock off the favorites. I know we don't talk about them like they're the favorites, but they are the number one seed for a reason.
Ooh, okay. All right, Bills Chiefs. What you got? What can't you wait for?
Listen, this is the revenge tour, right? I think right now Josh Allen's trying to prove that he's worth the $250 million contract that he got in the offseason. But also, right, he's starting to exercise some goals. We're accustomed to seeing people get over the hump, right? They've gone to Arrowhead the last couple of years, and they've lost. They fell short. Last year, Stephon Diggs stayed and watched the celebration. Let's see if they can exercise some of these demons. They started last week with the Patriots. You heard. I believe it was Poirier saying, listen, it ends today. Let's see if Patrick Mahomes and their season ends next week and Josh Allen's, you know, legacy begins.
Yeah, it feels like nobody is hotter than the Bills right now, but Kansas City's been knowing how to get it done in the playoffs. We'll see how that plays out. Now, ESPN's Football Power Index has Buffalo as a slight favorite with a 52% chance to win in the simulations, but Caesars Sportsbook has KC as a narrow favorite by 2 points. That gives Kansas City implied odds of 57% to win. Okay, you got all that? Yeah. Took a while to digest it.
We followed.
Let's bring our team back in. Dee Wood, Lewis Riddick, Diana with us now. Diana, you covered the game last week in Buffalo. You saw this all-time performance by Josh Allen. What do you make of this team?
Yeah, you didn't need to be up close and personal to understand what the heck they were doing out there, which was simply incredible. Seven drives, seven touchdowns. Everything was working on both the offensive, defensive, special teams. They were all in. And look, the momentum is on their side. The Buffalo Bills team that we're seeing right now looks like the Buffalo Bills team that we saw at the start of the season, and them matched up against this Kansas City Chiefs defense that looks completely revamped and different from what we saw just a few weeks ago. They went from being one of the worst units to now perhaps the best. This is without a doubt the showdown of the weekend.
Yeah, and by the way, D-Wood, we were talking about this morning. Patrick Mahomes has literally been the best quarterback, I feel, in every game he's played in his career. Is that the case this weekend?
He definitely has his equal on the field right now, and I think Josh Allen is probably feeling like, this is my time. This is my time right now. They beat in the regular season the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. So they're not afraid of going out there and playing, going head-to-head with the Kansas City Chiefs. And all I got to do is just go back to last week. I mean, we're talking about one of the top defenses in the National Football League and the New England Patriots, and all Josh Allen and that Bills offense did was score a touchdown on seven consecutive drives. Not one punt, not one field goal, seven consecutive touchdowns. Yeah. That is just ridiculous. So these guys feel like they have all the momentum going into Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what can he do?
Yeah, you know,
he's going to tuck that ball in and just run all over you. You know, it's funny. I posted a picture of me interviewing him after the game. Mm-hmm. Everyone keeps asking me, how tall are you? I'm like, I'm 5'7". Josh Allen is just that big. And I don't think people really can see it on the field, how large of a human being he is. And he's going to be a problem for this Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to have to try to stop him.
Yeah, how are they going to do that? Lewis, take us into the X's and O's. What are the biggest keys in this one?
Keeping these quarterbacks in the pocket for the respective defenses. You saw in the highlights there in the first game, Josh Allen escaping up into the pocket and out to his right, and then hitting Dawson Knox on a touchdown right, you know, over top the DB's head. That's the number one thing that he likes to do. He likes to get up into his right and outside the pocket, and then he's a run pass threat and he's dangerous. Patrick, same way. Patrick can roll out to his right and throw the ball clear back across the field to his left 40, 50 yards. Both defenses have to make sure they do that. Kansas City stopped Josh Allen's running ability. He really unleashed it, or rather unveiled it in the first game. That's when Brian Daboll kind of said, look, this is another twist that we have to our running game. And then more and more it's become a part of what they do. Kansas City, be patient, man. Don't turn the football over. Take what the defense gives you. This will come down to a last possession type ball game.
Man, this could be an all-time matchup. Can't wait to see these two quarterbacks going at it. Thank you, everybody. And by the way, let's turn now to some drama. You want some football drama? Here's some basketball drama. In Hollywood, Pacers, Lakers, LeBron getting ready for this one. And we focus on Russell Westbrook. King of the fourth quarter, 7:34 remaining. He's got the ball right there. Little spin in the lane. Can't hit the turnaround jumper. That's not the big moment here. Watch Russ on defense. Lackadaisical might be a compliment here. Watch. Caris LeVert gets the ball, drives to the hoop. Not much from Westy. He was benched not long after that. Just over 2 minutes remaining in the fourth. Pacers up six. Caris LeVert, the three from the wing. 22 points in the fourth quarter, 30 in the game. Next possession for the Lakers. LeBron with a three. And it's Brick City. Lakers lose 111-104. Here's LeBron on Russ after the game.
How was Russ after the game? Is that the sort of thing that bothers him?
Have you followed Russ throughout his career?
Not as closely as you have, probably.
Okay. Have you followed Russ throughout this season? Yeah. Would you think that would bother Russ not being in the late game? A great answer.
Okay, let's welcome in Stephen A. Smith. Now, Stephen A.,
good to see you. But before I get into basketball, we're going to need an explanation later on why Damian Woody is at his house and his hair ain't combed. We need to talk about that another time. I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, the hair's a little wild. Now, I don't have an IFB in my ear, Damian Woody, so I can't hear you. What you trying to do, rock a Jerry Curl or something? I mean, what the hell is going on? I mean, I'm talking basketball, so I'll get to you later. I just wanted to let you know I noticed that the hair was a little ragged and you need to do better.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
You heard what I said. You heard what I said.
And you would say that if he was in the studio.
Damn right. Oh, okay. I got a cone. I got a cone for you, Damian Woody. Now, let's get back to basketball, Ron. Let's go. How you doing, man? It's good to see you.
I'm good.
All right.
Just tell me what you make of LeBron's reaction, because also Dave McMenamin had some reporting. Westbrook had left the locker room by the time his teammates were finished showering, foregoing any post-game discussion, similar to what LeBron did a couple days earlier after that blowout loss. What do you make of bench and Westbrook?
Usually I'm not an advocate of that. You're a professional, show up and do the interview. In Russell Westbrook's case, I don't blame him, because this is not a guy that's accustomed to being benched, okay? He's been a starter throughout his career. This dude has never shortchanged anybody with effort. I got issues with his jump shot. I got issues with his decision-making as a point guard. I got issues with his free throws. I do not have issues with his basketball character as it pertains to his effort. He never shortchanges you with effort. And so for him to be benched, I've been saying this for days, ever since Magic Johnson threw out this tweet, and I'm going to say it again, change is coming. Now, I don't know if it's going to mean via a trade or Frank Vogel getting fired. But clearly, Frank Vogel is feeling some heat. They're a 500 team. They're average at best. They're not a very good team. They weren't great when Anthony Davis was there, shooting 17% from three-point range, even though the brother was averaging 24-10. And we know how big time Anthony Davis can be. You're 18th in defensive efficiency. You're like 27th overall in points allowed. If you're Frank Vogel, you are a head coach in the NBA because of your prowess as a defensive-minded coach. So for him to make the decision, I'm not seeing what I want to see defensively, and I'm making that change. That tells me he's feeling the heat, and it's telling me he made an appropriate decision, because he's saying, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down my way. We got to prioritize being able to stop people, and I don't have a problem with that.
So can I ask you this? Does the brunt of the blame then go on Vogel for what you're seeing in that highlight? For example, for what you're seeing with Russell Westbrook on defense
right
there?
No. It doesn't go with Frank Vogel. I mean, he's going to be the scapegoat. The reality of the situation is, and I've said this before as well, Frank Vogel wasn't their first choice. He wasn't their second choice. He wasn't their third choice. He was here on Get Up with Greeny. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody was thinking about him as a head coach after he lost the job in Orlando. They wanted Ty Lue. They wanted Monty Williams, but they wanted to be able to pick your staff, and they wanted to make sure that Jason Kidd was on it, because at one time they fantasized about him being their head coach. And then Frank Vogel said, hell, I'll take the job. I mean, what am I doing? And he took the job. And props to him, because he ended up winning a title because of it. He's got, as far as I'm concerned, a tremendous staff. At the end of the day, they're older, you know this, and they're devoid of prolific shooters who are their stars. Malik Monk is having a damn good season. Mm-hmm. Carmelo Anthony sporadically has been really, really good. You got other guys that have contributed. But LeBron is, as far as I'm concerned, playing like an MVP candidate. That was not the case with Anthony Davis. That damn sure ain't the case with Russell Westbrook. And when those are the two of your cornerstones of the franchise and you've got to rely on them and you're getting what you got from them thus far this season, you're going to have the results they had.
Does Russell Westbrook finish the season as a Laker?
I believe so, but only because his contract is so steep, you're not going to find a whole bunch of takers. If his contract was movable, Westbrook would be gone tomorrow. I think the Lakers would make that call. And at the end of the day, this is what the bottom line came down to. You had an opportunity to get DeMar DeRozan. You didn't pursue it. You had an opportunity to get Buddy Hield from Sacramento, who's a sniper. The things that you didn't pursue was because Russell Westbrook went to LeBron. I want to be a Laker. I want to be a Laker. LeBron bought in, convinced Anthony Davis to buy in. As a result, you're Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss. You feel compelled to buy in. And in the end, this is LeBron James' mess as well as anybody else's because you are the champion wherever you go. And we got to listen to a four-time champion who's been to 10 NBA Finals, who is nothing short of a basketball savant. You know the game. And you said, hey, we could use this brother. He would be helpful. Well, guess what? You're just as culpable as anybody else. It's just a hell of a lot easier to replace the coach than it's going to be to replace the player. But I can assure you, something is going to happen before the trading deadline. I don't know whether it's a player being moved or it's a coach being fired. But as the Lakers presently stand, this is unacceptable. Magic Johnson put out those code words on Twitter, put Jeannie Buss's name in it. All I'm going to tell you is I've known Magic Johnson for a quarter century. Mm-hmm. I don't have to talk to him directly to tell you what he's thinking. Mm. I've proven throughout the years I know exactly what the hell he's thinking. That was code word to Jeannie. Enough's enough. Yep. You got to make a move. A move will be made. You can book it.
Ooh. Can't wait to hear you talk about. You're going to be talking about this on First Take.
Come on now. It's First Take.
Of course. Can't wait to see that happen. And by the way, you're going to have Woody on too?
Well, he got to comb his hair.
Oh.
He got, I mean, the hair right there, the hairdo, you can't just do that. See, he think he's so smooth. He got on a blue tie today, and last week it was a red tie, and he was looking sharp. The suit game, Woody has elevated his suit game. I got to give credit where credit is due. But he trying to look at the piano in the background like he Mozart or somebody. You know, it's a Picasso. I don't know what the hell it is. I just say, if you're going to do all of that, comb your hair. Comb your hair.
Mean. I got to let Woody respond to that. We come back. Stephen A., thank you so much. Coming up, Mike McCarthy and his stunning admission about his team. Got Bart Scott fired up. We'll talk about that when we come back on Get Up. Back with you on Get Up, and we've been talking about it all week. After high expectations, the Cowboys were knocked out of the first round of the playoffs, and criticism of Dallas head coach Mike McCarthy only became louder after Sunday's loss. Now, yesterday, McCarthy revealed something about his team that may surprise some viewers. Take a listen to this.
I thought we were nervous to start the game. Felt it in the locker room at the team prayer, but I thought we fought through that.
Why would your team be nervous? Is that the pressure of needing to win, wanting to win, having to win?
Well, let me take the word nervous back. I mean, it was a little angst, okay, which I think just like anything. I mean, it's just, I mean, they were excited. They had a great week of practice. I thought the pregame was good, but, you know, I just think that, you know, we weren't, you know, they were a little cleaner than we were at the beginning of the game. That's just the facts.
Let me take the word nervous back.
You can't.
Yeah, because he knew he was throwing his players under the bus.
Goodness.
That's a guy blaming players. That's why he said, oh,
it's unbelievable. Let me say this. First, when I first heard the first part of the sound, I said, you know, I appreciate the honesty. At least he's being honest. But, Bart, as you hear the whole thing.
You can't tell the whole truth all the time, man. Keep some of that stuff to yourself, player. Listen, and look, the mandate was set by Jerry Jones. How can you be nervous in the first game? Like, you're under mandate to win the Super Bowl. You're nervous when you don't feel confidence in your core coordinators or your coaches to give you the answers to the test. That's the only time I've ever been nervous, when somebody's doing this and somebody's hitting me and I don't know where it's coming from. I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? They got bombarded, right? You know, they came down, got punched in the mouth, and they never responded. And that just shows, like, you know, they're a front-running team. And listen, Mike McCarthy, Dan Quinn, Kellen Moore, none of them made the necessary adjustments to be able to handle the Ghost Most and to handle Deebo Samuels in the backfield. And that's a lack of coaching. And that's why, that's the only time I've ever been nervous. But you can't take it back. The cat's out of the bag. You can't put it back in, man. Nervous. If you're scared, be scared. Like, you can't be scared in the postseason. What are you talking about?
Look at D-Wood. Look at D-Wood. At first, I thought you might be saying a prayer for Mike McCarthy and his job. But what are you thinking?
Team prayer.
D-Wood, you need more time to pray this one out? What do you think?
I mean, come on, dog. Like, what are you doing here? Like, seriously, Mike, you talk about nervous. One minute he's talking about nervous. Another minute he's blaming, you know, the analytics people. And, I mean, it's real simple and plain to me. You know what you do when you get up there? We just got beat. It wasn't good enough. I didn't do a good enough job preparing my team. Like, that's literally all you have to say. But then you come up here and you're talking about stuff don't nobody give a damn about. Nobody gives a damn about nervous. If you're prepared, you're not nervous. And analytics and all, like, what are we doing here? And it just makes you sound lame as a head coach, a guy that want to deflect responsibility from ultimately what your job is, and that's the CEO of the franchise. You're the head coach. The buck stops with you. All these other excuses go out the window. It's just ridiculous, man.
And Lewis, you know, Woody's talking about being the CEO of this team. But we always have to talk about Dallas. There is, I think, in many ways, no more pressure than being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys when you talk about being a head coach of an NFL franchise. So when you hear comments like that, and you mentioned in the last hour, hey, maybe it's time to think about or at least consider elevating Dan Quinn. When you hear comments like that, what does it make you think about Mike McCarthy and his ability to lead this team?
Well, look, I always talk about three things when it comes to leadership, Ryan. I talked about credibility, competency, and your ability to positively impact others. Well, let's go back to credibility. Credibility is about trust. And what happens here is, see, now you're going to wind up compromising your credibility because the guys in the locker room are going to start saying, hey, man, we weren't nervous. We didn't have any angst. We're trying to play the game. Now, look, they may have come out and jumped on us a little bit, and we may have had to settle down, make some adjustments, you know, understand what kind of how exactly things were rolling with us, but we weren't nervous. Don't put it on that. I mean, were you nervous at the end of the game when you called quarterback draw for Dak? Were you nervous? I mean, have you been nervous as far as knowing how to handle your timeout situation and give us a chance to win the game? Are you nervous? Do you have some angst? I mean, that's what happens when you start saying these kind of things, man. You start having the locker room start going, wait a second, you're calling me out? I'm going to call you out. That's what starts happening. And see, if you're Jerry Jones, you have to consider all that stuff. I hear you, Woody. I hear you laughing. If you're Jerry Jones, you have to consider all this stuff, and you have to start going, okay, in crunch time, in those crucial situations, do we have the right guy who will make sure that, one, he's coaching the coaches, saying, look, this is what I'm seeing offensively. This is what I'm seeing defensively. This is what I'm seeing special teams. Whoever's in my ear up in the box as far as timeout usage, when the challenge plays, etc. Are we right? Are we straight? Do we have this thing all buttoned up? So in the most pressure-packed of moments, we're not folding. We're not shrinking. We're not coming up short. Jerry has to assess all of that. And that's why I said, look, y'all can bang on Dan Quinn all you want. I know what Dan Quinn has been through during his time off and how he has improved now going forward. You have to start considering whether or not it's time to elevate that guy. I'm sorry, you just do. We'll see what they do.
Wow, Diana, really quick thought. I think one big thing here is Jerry Jones, he wants to portray a certain image with this franchise. And nervous, I don't think, is one
yeah,
of them.
That's definitely. He wants to win Super Bowls. That's all that matters. So he can say everyone's job is safe at this moment. But we know that Jerry Jones can certainly change his mind. So, guys, when we know Lewis is being funny on a show, you know he's making a hard point because he's comedian today.
But the thing I say about Dan Quinn, and I don't have anything against Dan Quinn, but we hear his name in all these places. Leslie Frazier is the one walking around with the number one defense.
I got to jump in because I got to take a break. Because we're talking about this. First Take coming up after us, and we talked about it earlier. Who is most responsible for the Lakers issue? Not only that, they're going to be talking about what a win over Patrick Mahomes would mean for Josh Allen. It's First Take, Stephen A. Molly and Jay Williams and Dan Orlovsky.
Thank you.
Tennis's first major of the year rolls on down under with our third round coverage beginning tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus, and it continues on ESPN2, 9 Eastern, featuring number one seed on the women's side, Ash Barty, and the sixth seeded Rafa Nadal. Every point of every match can be seen live on ESPN Plus. Well, that's it for us here on Get Up. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. You guys ready for football this weekend?
I'm nervous.
First take starts now.
Not prepared.